Good morning. Today is Friday, March the 2nd. Joining us this morning, Tundra Boy, Greg Sparks.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of chilly
out. You got the vest,
out.
You got this. I thought this was like a genetic thing from guys from the Midwest that, you know, this was kind of like going home.
You know, that you can still feel that cold wind with that rain and, casual Friday. I don't see me too dressed up here on Fridays.
Well, I just thought that was for me. Oh, let's see. Is there a quote here? Nah, I don't feel like a quote. The newscast we just heard was referencing city council's contemplation.
Yeah.
Of a couple of more marijuana retail stores.
Mm-hmm.
These are a little bit different in the fact that they're right on the highway, so it'll be very visible for regular folks, tourist folks, business folks, and they're, at least the one, the old Bank of America at 4th and F, is really right in the middle of the business district and kind of the unofficial gateway into Old Town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the status of these? What's the process that's going on here?
Yeah, with, you know, currently we have the one retail outlet in Eureka, EcoCan, down in Old Town. And
it's half a block away from one of the two
right.
locations.
Right. And, you know, that initially opened as, just medical cannabis only. And then when the recreational cannabis all went into effect here January 1st, convert over where it provides both. And, we haven't, as far as I know from the city standpoint, we have not received any complaints from other businesses in the area about the facility there. I've certainly walked by it, Arts Alive, and, during the day, it's fairly innocuous. I think one of the things in our ordinance, we don't currently allow signage for cannabis businesses, so...
Even on the facing of the business?
Right. So they have a sign, an interior sign that can be seen from outside. So there's, at EcoCan.
Like in the window kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of in the back wall. But it's, it's not as in your face as Oregon and some of the other places.
Regular signage.
Colorado, where you might have, the great big, huge green leaf and all that type of thing. So, when City Council approved the city code in terms of implementing recreational cannabis, so our focus has been on the more cannabis-related businesses such as the manufacturing, the distribution, the testing, those companies. We've had a number of those businesses that have either in the permitting process or have already been permitted. But the council decided they really wanted to go very slow in terms of the retail outlets. So they approved a process where we would open it up to a request for proposals every 6 months and take a maximum of two, but they don't necessarily have to take any if they don't think they're the right fit or location, that type of thing. So
let me step back. If we used an eraser and erased marijuana out of the discussion,
mm-hmm.
okay, and let's say it's pick an industry, regular stuff, nothing that's sketchy on the edges. These five folks are going to determine whether or not a potential business can locate into a location, or is this specific to marijuana?
It's specific to marijuana. Yes,
I thought definitely we cut through the smoke and the haze on
right.
that one. Yeah,
bars have certain hoops they have to jump through. Most businesses don't have so many hoops as long as they meet the zoning this, but in terms of cannabis, because of still a lot of regulation from the state, it's still against federal law. So there's
still class one drug.
Yeah, it's still a class one drug, and I think we still don't know what the federal government is going to do.
Does the city, Greg, have? And we'll get back to the process here. Does the city have any culpability or liability in permitting this because it is a class one drug?
We don't believe so based on what the state has told us. As long as we follow the state guidelines, I think if the federal government was going to do anything, they would come down on state of California and these other states. So we have not received any, say, letter from Department of Justice warning us as that happened, what, five, six years ago.
Or from the congressman's office or the senator's offices.
Right.
Have they given you, on the flip side, don't worry about it?
I don't know if anyone ever quite says don't worry about it, but, you know, Eureka, as many cities across the state, were implementing recreational cannabis. Some cities have chosen not to allow.
You can say marijuana
allow.
In here.
Yeah,
you know, it's
marijuana,
okay.
Cannabis,
safe.
I don't...
One tries to dress it up, the other is what it is. I mean, that's my perspective. You know,
could be.
I know.
So, right. Some communities choose not to allow retail outlets or cut down in some other way. One of the things that we did last year, you know, we had an economic study done of the potential for marijuana businesses. And I think we're seeing even more of these businesses getting started than what we thought there might be. I mean, and they all tend to be pretty small.
Is that a good thing?
You know, it's... They're filling what had been empty buildings. They're taking some, in many cases, some pretty dilapidated buildings and improving them. From a negative standpoint, driven up some costs in some areas and priced some businesses out. So, yeah, there's always some give and take as to what's been beneficial there.
We'll talk about the process then, permitting the location when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. You ready for snow? I mean, you're one of the guys that should know how to drive in snow and hail, right?
You know, I think I still know how, and you know, I was back.
It hasn't been that long, has it?
No, it hasn't. And I was back in Iowa and Minnesota at Christmas, and got to experience 20 below zero, you know, at night. We didn't really get so much snow, but...
just cold, huh?
Yeah, more just cold.
Getting back to the process of determining marijuana retail locations, there are two that are you've got proposals or presentations with.
Right.
What is the standard, the measurement, the references that the five electeds are going to be using to say thumbs up or thumbs down?
You know, we had a committee process that reviewed the proposals that came in, and we really, a lot of focus on is their business plan. Are they, you know, are these people know what the, do they know what they're doing? And
so
you
these,
try to...
These folks are kind of getting to the point of being business consultants? Looking at business plans
I'm
and determining...
From our staffing standpoint, in terms of... You know, we'll have representation from police department and development services, and really look at, you know, the quality of the application, whether or not we think this is a business that will, number one, do they have the capability of following all the rules and.
So you're not looking at like a banker would look at it, or
you know,
REDEC would look at it, or a business consultant would look at it. You're looking.
We get some, at, you know,
they're playing by the rules.
Assistance on the finance end, but. Certainly want to make sure that, yes, this isn't just going to be a business that's in there for a couple months and leaves and that type of thing. And what we've seen, say, so far with EcoCan, and, you know, they were inspected by the state just the other day. That was on the news, and apparently passed. It certainly appears that they know how to run the business. They aren't just a couple of guys who wanted to smoke pot and open up a business, right? So,
or grew it for the last 10 years and got a pound of money,
right?
And they're just playing the game. Yeah, okay.
So in look at location, and in some sense, what is a good location for these types of businesses? I think as long as they aren't impacting other businesses around them, and the signage that isn't in your face that impacts from a tourism standpoint.
Let's say, you pick on the B of A building, just because I think it's a more of an icon. Okay, if that was going to be constructed today, you would have parking, significant parking concerns. Mm-hmm. Or there would be a pound and a half of parking in lieu of fees that in theory the city would then use to purchase a parking lot, which I don't recall new parking lots being built in the last 25 years. So
in quite a while.
It's kind of curious where those dollars are going, but let's set that aside for another day. You got one parking lot, it's across the street at one of the banks. You got another one being built at another bank across the street.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that if there was more than three people, either employees or customers, you're going to be impacting private parking lots now. So where's the parking commission on this? Are they involved in the determination of thumbs up or thumbs down on these locations also because of that kind of a situation that any business would be confronted with?
Those properties that are within the downtown parking district, are not required then to create parking. In a sense, that district was established back in the 1950s, had an assessment at one time. There hasn't been any parking assessment in that district for many, many years. And certainly the whole parking discussion, boy, we could probably talk an hour on that.
Undoubtedly.
We're going to be doing another parking study, and the city seems to maybe do these every 10, 15 years. But we really are trying to determine what is going to be the best mix in the future in terms of surface parking, on-street parking. Do you charge for on-street parking and not parking lots, or vice versa? There's a lot of things that go into play.
The parking meter discussion again.
It almost gets back to that. And certainly we want to make from the business community is going to have to really drive that discussion. What works well for them? What works well from a resident and visitor standpoint in terms of, because as you said, we've had very few dollars going into the parking fund in many, many years. About the only thing is from parking meters. There's been no assessment. So at 5 cents or so on a parking meter, there's not too much money being generated there.
Couple sandwiches a day, and that's all she wrote.
Right.
Yeah. So as these folks are looking at these locations, is parking a consideration? Is traffic a consideration, and the impact into that those various neighborhoods?
Yeah, I think really also you have to look at does a marijuana business, does that impact parking more than some other type use that's allowed to go into that building? And then I don't think we're seeing necessarily any too different of a use. It's a retail use going in a retail area. It tends to be pretty high quick turnover. It's not one of the
not
things.
Sampling.
One time with hair salons, we sometimes get that issue of, we need more longer term parking right near it because people who come and use those services.
So yeah, the cycle is longer.
Yeah, this is more of a in and out in 10, 15 minutes type thing.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Keep giving him all these great ideas during the breaks, and I don't feel like I'm getting any traction.
I've been hearing these great ideas for about 4 years now.
Yeah, and they're still in that infancy stage. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, and by American Ag Credit. Greg, there's a little bit of discussion also that's going on about signage in town, which I find curiously interesting. Digital billboards, and I think for regular folks, it's the billboards that can change out. It's not like papers on it. It's just electronics.
Right.
Okay. Boy, does that seem to get people's attention.
It
you
does.
Know, it is light them up, or what are you talking about? The extremes. I don't think anybody's, whatever, in the middle of these things. What is the cause of everybody's personal, emotional lockdown on these signs?
Yeah, people feel very strongly either for and against, but I think there's also a lot of room for compromise in there as well. But you know, one thing we don't distinguish in Eureka for electronic signs or sign. There's no difference in the standards for Old Town versus South Broadway versus Henderson Center. And
a sign's a sign.
Yeah, and in terms of what may be appropriate on South Broadway, say Lost Coast Outpost, you know, big electronic sign. I'm not Lost Coast. Lost Coast Brewery. Lost Coast Brewery's large
Well,
sign.
Either you've been to Barb's place a little early today, or you're just being
demented. I got the Lost Coast part right.
Yeah, good.
You know, that is not out of, in terms of size and context, I don't have an issue with that sign there. But would that look right down at, if that a sign that size at the Clark Museum? Well, that doesn't seem like it.
Well, how about at their 4th Street location?
Yeah, that's a good
example. Now, to me, the arguments could be very similar. People who don't like neon signs.
Yep.
Well, okay, those have been accepted for 40, 50, 60 years, you know, as long as the neon sign industry's been around.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the idea with a sign is to get people's attention. Okay. Pretty straightforward. Versus having a paper sign or a painted sign that could be just as brightly colored, could be just as lit, but it just doesn't change.
Yeah. And I think some of the concern gets to be that in terms of sign pollution, but as you said, that can happen with or without them being electronic. And currently in our regulations.
What do you mean by sign pollution, just as terminology? Too many signs?
Yeah. To where sign clutter. And
so if you have a really concentrated retail district, doesn't that follow?
No. I've seen a lot of retail districts where they have very strict sign standards, say at Aspen, Colorado, for instance. So McDonald's doesn't have the great big golden arches there. They've got a very small ground level golden arch, and it just creates, they're able to maintain that kind of a look of consistency within a what had been a historic mining community at one time. So,
well, if there's a historical district, okay, but it's been historical for a long, 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 long time.
Right, and that might be appropriate to have different regulations in Old Town, Downtown versus South Broadway versus what might be appropriate for Henderson Center area.
But the city just has one
just
at
one,
this point.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is we have they can't change the message. There's a five-minute time in there. Well, we've all seen signs that don't meet the five-minute delay, and then we have to do enforcement on it. And the whole point in creating that 5 minute was so it wouldn't have driver distraction. But is there a driver distraction if that was 3 minutes or 2 minutes? I think those are things that will be looked at as well.
Yeah, I would think that if you're parked in front of a business for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. you're not moving.
Right.
If or you're 2 minutes,
but
even.
If you're driving down Broadway and say business A wants to constantly scroll what they have for sale, is that okay, or should it be?
Yeah, but you can't get into content
minute,
then.
Show it for a minute. Yeah, I think those are some of the questions that are going to be addressed.
By whom?
Well, ultimately, it's city council. Surveys gone out trying to survey business and the community, and there'll be more public meetings on it. But certainly trying to, I think, from a council standpoint, understand where the community is on the issue.
These are pretty significant investments.
Yes.
I would think that there would be a grandfathering in.
Oh, yeah.
If it's already there.
Yeah, you can't. It's basically from a point going forward if there's any changes.
So it would be interesting, I think, you know, what takes more attention? Somebody looking for the McDonald's sign because the kids are screaming at them.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody that's got a two-minute cycle on a digital billboard.
Yeah, and I don't know if
Or resulting in goofy driving patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we're all fired up about that, what about cell phones and texting and emails as they drive? That, I would suggest, is causing more accidents or the zombies walking across the highway at night with black hoodies on, kind of staggering or walking slowly. Or the guys that don't slow down, mm-hmm. they just walk right across the crosswalks on 4th and 5th Street in the middle of the day, fully anticipating everybody's going to see that they're there. I mean, if we're getting into that level mm-hmm. of safety for vehicle traffic or for mm-hmm. pedestrians or a combination of both, I would think there's a whole bunch more stuff that ought to be getting full-on attention rather than digital signs.
And, you know, that driver distraction is just one of the issues in terms of electronic signage. The other, I think, gets more just of community standards of what people's expectations are in terms of how the community looks.
Because it goes into the coloring and the designs now of buildings, too.
Sure.
And then pretty soon, what's property rights? KINS, News and Information. I didn't think you'd jump on that one. KINS, News and Information Time is 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, digital signs gets everybody's attention. Mm-hmm. What about the sidewalk signs? I'm seeing those little goofy, things popping up all over the place. You know, one, I don't think they're particularly efficient because they're down below the viewscape of people driving, but they're out on sidewalks. You know, where in theory people are walking and that kind of stuff. Is there any sign ordinance with sidewalk signs?
Yeah, talking about like the sandwich boards.
Yeah.
And every now and then we have to get out and do some enforcement on those if they are spreading to a greater degree than what they should be.
Is that per store or cumulative?
Like on a per store. If one store decided they wanted to have 7 sandwich boards out all around, no, you can't do that. Typically, they have one out.
One in front of the store.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
But if they're like on the corners or a block away and that kind of stuff.
Not supposed to do that. That's right.
Okay. So it's just kind of a nuisance kind of a deal then.
Really? Well, you can imagine it's one issue if one business does that. What if, 50 businesses thought they had to have
10
signs all over the place? Yeah.
There were, I noticed that there's just a pad now, and I, oh, maybe it's 4th and E. They used to have the fancy Caltrans thing and the direction pointers and great hullabaloo when those things came in. Are they just being defaced or damaged to such an extent that they're now being pulled out?
Yeah,
or are they going to come back again?
The one was pulled out and because of being damaged. And, you know, we have talked about those, that they've seemed like they've met their useful life, that there could be a better way to do signage that's
I like the banner things like Fortuna has. You know, they've got the kids that are serving.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, I think that's where the idea on the boardwalk was. But to have those,
yeah,
those done either seasonally or as directional things up high, then they don't get defaced other than by seagulls. But, you know, it's pretty straightforward, clean looking, always mm-hmm. maintained.
Yeah.
Is that something? Is that city responsibility? Is that Main Street responsibility?
It's city responsibility, and certainly we work with Main Street on things like that.
So something like that could replace mm-hmm. those other structures.
And of course, to have a good signage plan, they're fairly expensive, but at the same time,
don't let them be digital.
Yeah, can't have them be digital. We've certainly have looked at some different concepts for signage, and I think at some point we'll be bringing that back around.
Oh gosh, that would be so funny if you guys had recommended a digital one so you could change it seasonally.
I don't even want to go there right now.
I know. Well, it's just something kind of humorous to reflect on as we go out. Thanks for coming by.
You bet, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow morning and on Monday.